Hey, Fockers. Man, every time I say it, it sounds really bad, but I'm not trying to cuss.
That's fine. Someone's got to cuss. Gray's not here.
No, but yeah, but the F-bomb is taking it too far.
No, Fockers is fine.
People know what we're doing. It's not like we're trying to...
I like saying Fockers. I like saying that they're fucking awesome. I mean, it's great. It's fun.
Welcome to the program. And you guys should be grateful to even be listening to us today.
You MacGyvered this thing together.
Yeah, so I have one of those new MacBook Pros for the techies who are listening. And they're great because they're super powerful. And for what I do for a living, like, it makes my life a lot easier, which I'm grateful for. I love technology. However, the thing that sucks about these things is they've lost all their ports.
Oh, they didn't lose them.
Well, they strategically got rid of them.
Exactly.
So I would have to go and buy a bunch of deals.
Yeah.
Like adapters. And so the podcast equipment that we use here on the Charterhouse Fawcast is USB oriented. Well, the new MacBook Pros don't have USBs. They require you to buy these adapter cables. Well, I have an adapter cable, but the problem is I left it in my office.
Chris bad.
So what we've done is we've taken Mark's how old is this MacBook Air?
That's at least a couple years old.
When we've, we've MacGyvered it. We're making it work.
If you get any strange pop-ups while you're using it, don't mind those.
Is that what I had to close out of earlier?
You don't want to have to know. It reminds me of, this isn't quite it, but are you aware of the term functional obsolescence?
No.
Do you know what that means?
I don't.
It's where, companies intentionally build things to break.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well,
it's smart from the perspective of profit and bottom line. It's annoying as hell that they can build a product. So in theory, a company can build a laptop to last 10 years. They could.
Yeah.
But they don't want that. They want them to last 3 years.
I'm a firm believer that, like, kitchen appliances are like that now.
Yeah.
Think about how they used to build those things. I mean, you used to be able to buy a refrigerator that would last 3 decades.
Forever.
And we bought...
deep freezes? My parents had a deep freeze for like 25 years.
Yeah.
It worked fine.
They're like ticking time bombs now, though.
That's why, though.
5 years, they blow up on you.
That's why. And it's brilliant from a company perspective.
Apple does that. And I'm a religious Apple connoisseur. But there's a reason why every like 3 iPhones, and then all of a sudden, oh, you got to have a new thing to plug in.
Can we build in functional obsolescence into marriages? It's like, baby, it's been 5 years. I mean, what do you expect?
What is that supposed to mean?
This thing was bound to break down. It's like this whole, like, you got to do this for the rest of your life thing. I've been married for 12 years, and that still scares me. You know, I'm just, commitment and me don't get along together very well.
Jeez.
It's tough. Love you, babe. She listens every week.
She does listen every week.
I'm not surprising her by anything I ever say on this. She's like, yeah, nah, I know Mark feels this way. And I'm not, you know, I'm going to stay married. It's fun, but... there's still times where it feels a little odd.
It sounds like you're having second thoughts.
No, I got a good life. I shouldn't mess it up. That's my thought on that.
I think we really got through to some people last week with our life advice podcast.
We touched on a few topics, did we not?
Yeah, got a lot of good feedback from that.
Try to think what the highlight of that was. Well, the highlight was
the
Gray wasn't here. That was the highlight.
I thought. When Gray's not here again today, if the audience can tell, I thought the highlight of the podcast last week was you telling the story about how you had to tell Katie's parents that you had sex with her at the age of 16.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I think my wife said, thanks for making me sound like a whore.
Well, I didn't think she sounded like a whore.
Something essentially like that. I think she was
just didn't come off that way to
she
me.
She was just referring to the age. At which she was during that time, but
these days, if you're not
pregnant by 12, you're behind the curve.
You see the deal? I couldn't believe this headline. I just saw it this morning. I get up about 6 every morning.
That's way too early.
The first hour of my day, I just am going over headlines,
Drudge Report, things like that. Okay,
stop. I'm not you. Okay, this is not. I'm not a Mark. Mark wakes up. He checks his Breitbart app. Then he's got to go to Drudge Report. Then he flips on Fox News. Anyways,
a little prison planet.
this gal, 24-year-old teacher,
yeah.
I think in Houston,
yeah,
was impregnated by a 13-year-old student who she had a 9-year or a 9-month relationship with. 9 years, obviously impossible. I couldn't believe that. Like, because usually, if something like that's going to happen, it's like a male teacher you would think of. That was it. Got impregnated.
We've talked about things like this before, and it's one of society's biggest double standards. No question about it, right? Reverse those ages, okay? 24-year-old male, 13-year-old female. Everyone's going to be like, holy crap, dude, that guy's going to prison forever, blah, blah, blah. And even in this instance, with the older female teacher and the younger male student, that age gap is way too big.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Way too big.
That's disgusting.
But I don't know a single male friend, the person that I consider a friend, that when you hear the story of the 17-year-old high school senior that's having sex with his 28-year-old teacher, nobody's like, that's just terribly wrong. People don't think that way. They're like thinking like, must be a pretty good-looking 17-year-old kid to be able to get that done, you know? But again, reverse
it. I think it's wrong.
Well, legally, absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. But if you're in high school and you're friends with that 17-year-old, you're not going, dude, that's wrong. You're going, man, way to go, bud. That's just the way guys
view it. It's a 17-year-old male?
Correct.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about...
No.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Anytime, and that's where the double standard sits in.
Yeah.
Anytime that an older male, like a 28-year-old teacher and a 17-year-old female student, then you can say that's predatory, that's wrong, et cetera. And most people are going to agree with you on that.
You've corrected yourself. Now that makes sense.
No, I'm talking about older female teacher.
I thought that you were endorsing the 28-year-old teacher.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
The male teacher, because, sorry.
No.
I got that confused. That was why I had such a shocking reaction.
There was a famous case, the male student who was young at the time. This was national news. I think he was Filipino. I don't know how old he was. He was 12, 13, something like that. Had sex with the female teacher. She got arrested, went to prison for many years. And then now they're married. I mean, jeez. She got through the prison sentence. He graduated, whatever. So apparently they were actually really in love. But, you know, if you're listening, if you're a minor out there, do any minors listen to this?
I hope not.
Don't mess with your teachers.
I hope we don't have minors listening just because of Gray's potty mouth.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying that it's a huge double standard in our society.
A couple of quick sports takes.
Yeah.
It's nice of Lon Kruger in Oklahoma to, you know, get their act together right before the Clones come to town on Saturday. That was we were talking before we started this. We a little bit of a gambling theme to this show, but Mark and I both thought that a 17-point line last night in that game was just utter insanity.
Maybe the worst line of the year that I've seen
in basketball.
Yeah. I mean, it's odd when you look at odd when you look at a line and you say that's way off. And last night, looking at that line, I thought that's way off.
It was very accurate to KenPom. Did you compare the two? I actually think KenPom had it like at 19 or something like that. But that's also not. I don't think KenPom factors in injuries, and Woodard coming back is a whole different ballgame.
But sites like KenPom.com, which is great for statistical analysis. That's what it is. It's statistical analysis.
Yeah.
I don't think they take into account a lot of times a simple human element.
Correct.
Right? So
absolutely.
And
so they don't.
If you go solely off of those, they're going to be wrong quite a bit, but they're not taking into account motivation and things
absolutely.
Like that. So, but yeah, no, that was a good, important win for Oklahoma.
Jeez. No, but that was supposed to be a game that I thought Iowa State could roll. Now I have serious questions if Iowa State will win that on Saturday.
What were your thoughts, takeaways from the Kansas game? By the way, I went up. That was my first game at Hilton this year.
How was it? How great were the light sticks?
That was cool.
I mean, were the light sticks not the coolest thing you've ever seen at Hilton?
I assume that's a one and done, we'll never see them again type of thing.
Apparently, and I didn't hear this, but I guess Jamie Pollard was asked about it on the coaches show Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And he said they have some other tricks up their sleeves.
You know what I was shocked by, unless I didn't look close enough, is those light sticks had no sponsor on them. Iowa State just put them out there?
Actually, I don't know who funded it, but I know that Learfield was the ones who put them all over the chairs.
It did look really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, for a second before I caught on, since it was my first game, my immediate thought when I got there was, have they been doing this for every game? at Hilton this year? It's like, no.
That would get expensive.
It was just special. I assume those things are uber cheap.
They have to be. All I know is I've been to enough games now where the atmosphere doesn't really, like, shock me very often anymore. Just because, you know, like, I've been at every Iowa State home game. I think I've missed, like, two games in the last 9 years
or
something.
You get numb to it.
So, however, I legit had goosebumps during that starting lineup and all that stuff on Monday night. It was an incredible atmosphere.
So that was my first taste of them dimming the lights.
Yeah.
I'd never
what
seen that before at Hilton. I like it.
Remember when we talked about that on the podcast last year about how we wish they could, and then that guy from Musco Lighting emailed me?
Yep. So my take in general is this, and I know you're going to agree with this. Iowa State, in general, when it comes to facilities and what they've done for pregame stuff, has been really good.
Yeah.
Really. So I want to give them credit for that before I trash them a little
now
bit.
You're going to go to the Jock Jams?
So just everything. I mean, the football stadium looks great. The intro's gotten better. The basketball arena looks good.
The intro got better this year.
Well, they've done a ton of stuff, right?
Correct.
So they're trending in the right direction.
Absolutely.
A lot of the intro music's good, et cetera. So you set up the stage. You turn off the lights. You do your intro, the video, right, which is cool for basketball.
Yep.
And then immediately you go to dent, 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 dent. Get rid of it, guys.
Y'all ready for this?
Get rid of it. It is horrible. You could find something so much better.
Just think if they, like, I mean, like, there's so many great, like, hip-hop beats.
Anything. Anything. It's like look how far we've come. Look at all this progress we've made. We're cool now. We got lights to turn off. You know, we got cool videos. All that, and then it's like, you know?
You're preaching to the choir, man.
And again, up at Iowa State, if anyone listens to this, hey, overall, you guys are doing fantastic.
You're phenomenal.
Fantastic. I'm not bashing you, but that part of it stinks. And I'm not the only one that thinks this at all. Rethink that part of the music.
It was a couple of years ago when I was really on my smoke on the water high horse.
Yeah.
And one of the folks up there had talked to me about the older people. And my whole deal was like, man, like, they're going to come no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, my dad is going to go to an Iowa State game and keep supporting Iowa State, regardless of if they're walking out to DMX, Drake, correct, or Smoke on the Water.
My in-laws are the exact same. Every
game. Like, they're not going to care.
Every game.
And most fans are like that. However, like, to me, like, who fuels the atmosphere in a sporting event?
Not the old people.
No, they don't.
Students.
Yeah. And Hilton, I think, is a little bit different because I think even the older folks are really intense. I think football is probably a little different because of the dynamic of what Iowa State football is compared to Iowa State basketball. I have a theory on Hilton. Hilton seemed like downright angry the other night.
That's always the theme of Kansas. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Something about Kansas. I was just going to ask you this exact question, which is where you're going somewhat. On calls that are obvious, against us, right?
Okay,
we fouled them. We lost the ball out of bounds. We did something, right?
And the refs they had a couple of reversals
the other day. And the refs call it the other way, right? Mm-hmm. I never like how our fans somewhat border on obnoxious at that point with booing and yelling and whatever, because it almost comes off as like we're just not intelligent enough to understand a good call. And maybe that's just part of the atmosphere. We're that fired up, we can't see reason. At that point,
I think that
does it bother you, or are you happy they're just making noise?
The only thing that bothers me, and this is like the old man high horse here. Now I'm now part of that fraternity. I don't like the F-bombs from the student section constantly.
Dude, I don't either. I got a 5-year-old that I take to games.
Yeah, I have a totally different perspective of that now than I did when I was 20.
Yeah.
I don't mind what you're talking about. That doesn't bother me because that's a crowd being into a game. Yeah. They're supporting their team. Like as Fran Fraschilla once famously put it, like Hilton Coliseum, people aren't watching the game; they're participating in the game.
And you're not talking about random students yelling the F word. You're talking about chants from all of them.
Correct. That's what bothers me because when I hear that, if I'm a Oklahoma State fan watching it on TV, that paints the entire university in a very negative light.
Yeah. They look classless.
Yeah, you look – and it's to me, it's like lowest common denominator because, anybody can just
Yeah.
Just do that. Like, come up with something clever. Like, there's so many, like, funny Bill Self signs that were in the student section, you know? And when game day was there, a couple, like, if you want to chant stuff, like, I'm all for chanting. Like, come up with something clever that's insulting toward the other team, not just F Kansas. Like, and that's it is lowest common denominator.
And I don't want to sound like a prude, because certainly my 5-year-old son has heard swear words before. But it's kind of like when you want to take your kid to a movie as a parent, you're like, okay, I'm going to take them to this movie because it's a cartoon, it's rated G, it's whatever. You know what the content's going to be. When you go to a basketball game, it should be about the basketball. You shouldn't have to be subjected to all the students saying the F word in unison. Now, can anybody stop it? Absolutely. You know, Leith could get right in front of the students and say, knock it off, and they would. You know, you could stop that. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think they would. I think they could nip that in the bud very easily if they wanted to. But, you know, yeah, so obviously I'm not a big fan of that. One of the best signs I ever saw and the reaction to the sign, because I was sitting very close when this happened, was I think it was 2 years ago. Was Hogue still playing 2 years ago?
Yep.
So there was a student in the student section right by where Kansas is getting ready for the starting lineup introductions. The coaches are just kind of milling around waiting. The student's holding up a sign. It's Bill Self's wedding picture with his wife in the wedding dress. And instead of Bill Self, they did put Hogue's face on his body. Bill Self is actually like tapping his players on the shoulder and pointing at the sign and laughing.
That was
like,
the,
check it out.
That was the game day.
That was good.
Yeah.
When you got the other coach like laughing and smiling at the sign,
see,
that's a good one.
That's my whole deal. That's what I'm all about. Like, you can, I don't know. I have a real hard time coming on here and criticizing kids who are camping out for the last week and a half. I'm also the belief that they can say and do whatever they want at that point. However, I just, like, I know that you guys are better than that in the sense that you see it all the time. Iowa State fans are always doing clever, like, funny. Mm-hmm. I just think that when you start chanting F Bill Self, like, you're shortchanging yourself.
You have an opportunity
on a huge to, like, really be hilarious, and like, you can really use your power for great purpose here, and that to me, like, you're taking the easy way out by just dropping
here's a very valuable lesson for students, frankly, and take it from someone who's 38 years old at this point, and this is just life. This has nothing to do with basketball, but if you're one of those people that constantly has to express themselves by always swearing, people will look at you like you're stupid. You know, there's better ways to express yourself.
No, you're right.
I mean, yeah, and again, hey, not preaching to the choir, I swear too, but but find other ways to communicate.
And I did it when I was in Iowa State student section too, so I'm not acting like I'm above it or whatever. I think that they're better than that in general.
No, I agree.
If they weren't, they wouldn't be camping out for 2 weeks, which is insane. I don't think I would ever do that. But
no way.
Good for them, though. I mean,
no way.
I follow a bunch of those kids on Twitter, and it seemed like they had a hell of an experience, so good for them.
Do they get a leave for class when they do that?
Yeah.
They do.
They got most of them have a deal. So we had a gal last year who kept calling into Mine Ross's show. We'd get, like, a daily update
from her. From the tent?
Yeah.
Okay.
She'd call in, like, and just give us updates. She'd just randomly call in, too. Like, it wasn't ever planned. Like, it'd be like, oh,
well, pizza's
Kelsey's on the line.
I think it's cool, though.
But what they do is, like, so there's groups of, like, 10 of them.
Yeah.
And they become, like, these own little independent communities in the tent community. And, like, one will, like, watch over the tent. It's like a rotation.
It's like Survivor, you know? Survivor aims.
You can only leave to, I think, take a deuce, go to work, go to class, and shower, I think, were the rules.
I'd be gone all day and say I had classes all day.
How busy was Jimmy John's over the last week delivering?
Probably quite a bit. I think the coaches and players usually bring pizzas and stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. We
show some support.
Tron and I sent them a bunch of pizza a couple years ago. They were thankful.
If I was smart, next year I would just like sponsor like the whole camp, like all of it. Sponsored
like a
by,
real estate theme?
Sponsored by Charterhouse. Just buy them food for the week. I get a lot of press out of that.
They would. I'm sure that somehow somebody would shut you down on monetizing that.
Stupid people.
You know how it goes, though.
People suck. Yeah, I'm trying to Heartball's coming up next month.
What the hell is that?
It's a philanthropic event. It's one of Des Moines' bigger events, though, for like the Heart Association.
Okay.
I don't know how many people were there.
Where you got this Coke machine last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember hearing that
story.
Yeah,
you could bid on it and all that stuff. But anyway, we're trying to – I'm a sponsor. There's a lot of sponsors for this event. It's a huge event. But I'm one of the sponsors, and we're trying to figure out how to get the most bang for the buck. And I think we're going to do a Moscow Mule bar. Well, Charterhouse Moscow Mule bar.
It's funny you brought that up. I got a question about that here in a minute.
About Moscow Mules?
Yeah.
So we're going to do, I think, this is still in the works, but I think it's going to be like a $25. You buy your Moscow Mule cup, and then you can have unlimited Moscow Mules all night long.
Oh,
it's actually
cool.
A pretty good deal when you think about it.
Yeah, that is. That's a great deal.
But apparently this idea is stepping on the toes of some other sponsors.
Oh,
and you always get into this stuff, too. It's a big pissing match, so we'll see what happens.
So last Friday, a bunch of college friends were in town, and we got together to celebrate a birthday. And I'm sitting there getting ready to order my first drink of the night, where I wanted to do liquor just to get going, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do a beer yet. And I've been, in 2017, I'm trying to not drink as much beer just because of all the carbs and calories, you know?
Yep.
So I've just been basically drinking Jack. That's all at nighttime, I'll just have Jack.
And straight?
Yeah, I'm not doing the beer anymore.
Okay.
And I was just tired of Jack because I've had so much of it, right? And I don't do rum, and they had a fancy Moscow Mule menu.
Yeah.
So I ordered a type of Moscow Mule.
Where were you at? By the way.
Down at the Draft House down on Court Ave.
Okay.
They have a really extensive Moscow Mule menu.
Yep.
And so then I ordered it, right? And then I thought, wait a second. Is that a douche drink? And so then I asked Murph.
Mm-hmm.
Because Murph's pretty good at gauging, what a douche.
What's douchey? And
yeah,
what's
not. We tend to bounce things off of each other as far as if you're in the douche category or not. And Murph told me that a dude ordering a Moscow Mule in January is totally a douche move.
What does the month have to do with it, though?
I guess it's a seasonal drink. It's
Could
a
be.
Warm drink.
Yeah.
So I guess that according to him, it's a douche drink. Is that a douche drink to you?
So when I've been out with people...
And I need to clarify, it was raspberry. So that makes it really
okay, so
douchey.
The raspberry might take you over the top.
Raspberry
a bit.
Vodka is what the flavor is.
Yeah, that might take you over the top. A typical Moscow Mule, though, is... I would describe it as a refreshing drink, right? So you have alcohol that's tough. And
you don't even like beer. So this is...
I have no problem with beer.
You don't really like beer, and you're wearing a pink shirt, so I don't know if I can really.
I don't have. And I got hair gel in.
Your shirt is tucked in. My God,
it is tucked in. It was a little long to leave untucked. I would describe it as a refreshing drink. Okay, but when I've ordered them with other people, including other guys, typically they're going that sounds good. I'll have one too. So I've never ordered that. If I was with a group of people and I said, I'll take the pina colada, I expect a few people to be like, really, dude? That hasn't happened with a Moscow Mule.
Do you like pina colada?
Did you like it the other night?
Yeah, it
well,
did.
You know, who cares?
Hold on. I'm going to do a
poll?
Twitter poll real quick, and then we'll get some live reaction. Is a Moscow Mule, dude, is a dude drinking...
Legit or douchey?
A Moscow Mule in January, a douche move or not.
All right. So you'll have to live result this thing as we go on.
Total douche. It's cool.
All right. I think because of the negativity of people, and let's face it, that's the society we live in these days. I think douche will win, but that doesn't mean they won't enjoy
one. Yeah, especially on the medium of Twitter. Everybody's going to jump on the negativity of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have no problem with it, for the record. I like them. They're tasty. If you drink enough of them, you're going to get hammered.
Yeah.
So
they over there at Founders in Bondurant, they do damn nice Moscow Mules. It's one of those biker bars. The cyclists go by. And the cyclists. Do you feel like the cyclists are a very trendy group? They're kind of cliquish, like the bikers?
Anytime you wear... gay attire like that all together, you're going to have a click.
That seems that was not a politically correct statement that you just made.
Well, you know what I mean by gay. I mean, the dudes walk around with their bulges on display, you know. And
I mean, how scale 1 to 10, or what percentile of those bulges are real? There's got to be some
biker shorts.
There's got to be some guys doing it for extra padding. Is my point. Like you have a cup there or something like that.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not a biker. I don't know if you.
I mean, I'm a very casual. I have a nice bike, and the wife and I. But I always just wear gym
shorts. Do those pants have padding built in? For like, because here's the thing: if you ride your bike for a long time, you might get sore sack. You know, so I bet they have built-in protection for that. I've never worn biker shorts. I don't know, but I don't know. Yeah, that was politically incorrect to me. And I certainly apologize. I don't want to offend anybody. You know me.
Yeah.
Hate to.
So I'm having some quick reaction to this Moscow Mule.
What do we got?
Right now we've got. Well, I'm just going to refresh one more time because the votes are just pouring in. They're like doubling by the minute. 67% say it's fine. 30 people have voted so far.
I'm surprised by that.
33% say total douche. We've had a few people
comment.
Just be yourself, Chris. If people find it douchey, they can deal with it. Travis, that's good quality comment by Travis.
Yeah.
As long as he don't wear white after Labor Day, says David. And Travis says it's 50 degrees. Leave him alone. I don't know what that means.
It means it's not winter. It's more like spring out right now. Because your comment had to do with it being cold out.
It was freaking freezing out when I did it. So now it's 72% say it's fine. So it seems to me like Murph is on the outside looking in here.
Is Murph the go-to, though, for societal norms and...
He's kind of my...
Murph, let's face it.
Murph's kind of my golden standard.
Murph's 50, right?
Yeah, but he's about as hip as a 50-year-old dude as you'll find.
Okay. And he'll be with you tonight. You should tell him these poll results.
Well, it's one of the reasons why I'm doing the poll.
Prove him wrong. So what will you guys be drinking tonight at Eric Church?
Because
they have several things you can get there now at Wells Fargo.
Well, so because Jack Daniels is a huge sponsor of Eric Church.
Yep.
Like, there's $7 Jack Daniels drinks all night, which is cheaper than beer there. So I'll just be doing Jack and diets all night.
Will Murph follow suit?
Probably not. He'll just do the Bud Light, I would guess.
Is he just a beer drinker for the most part?
I think Murph will do the Moscow Mule. Obviously not in January.
Yeah.
He's more of a beer guy from what I know.
Would Murph be willing to come do the fall with us at some point?
Oh, I would think so.
I would
think that he would.
We need the unfiltered Murph as much as we can get it. Here, get some powerful takes. Do you feel bad for Bryce Miller, by the way? The guy moves to cover sports in San Diego. I mentioned him because him and Murph are really good friends.
And then he loses the NFL.
The Chargers leave.
I did feel bad. Having said that, it's hard to feel bad for a guy living in San Diego.
Well, yeah, but now
he still has an MLB team. He still has major colleges. He likes to do a lot of the fishing type stuff over there.
Which has got to be huge. A lot of readers on that stuff, right?
Well, I don't know, but he writes about like deep sea fishing and stuff a lot.
Really?
Like think about it though. If you live in San Diego, there's a decent chance it's like one of your hobbies.
What was your take on the Chargers logo that they have now scrapped?
Jeez, I mean, what a disaster!
It looked a little.
It looked like the Drake D Plus thing is what it
reminded
me of.
It looked a little lazy.
Oh, just horrid. Yep. What's the dumbest part of it is that their old logo is like probably one of the coolest in the NFL.
Yeah,
I think that they're. There are two uniforms in the NFL that stand out to me as the best. The Chargers powder blue ones.
Yep.
And then when the Cowboys wear blue, it's pretty damn tough to beat when the Cowboys wear blue and they have like the stars on their shoulder pad. You know what I'm talking about?
So you're not a fan of when the Steelers go prison uni once a year? Those things are hideous.
They look
dude.
Like the Hawks.
Those things are hideous. Well, maybe that's why they look hideous, because they look like the Hawks. Couple of things related to gambling, I guess, in a way, because I do know we have some people out there that like talking about that.
You got gambling takes? Let's hear them.
Well, somewhat. The first one was, what are your thoughts on, because supposedly this will happen or is very close to happening, the Raiders in Vegas. What do you think on that? Because I've heard both ways. One, it'll be easy to sell seats because you have so many tourists there every single week. They'll go check out a Raiders game.
If you're in Vegas, are you going to go to an NFL? Are you there to go to a live NFL game?
I think you're there to have fun. You know, and if you can get tickets to an NFL game in one of the coolest stadiums ever, you might go do that.
I don't know. If I'm in Vegas, and I've never been to Vegas.
Which is crazy to me. You're going October 20th with us.
I would love to.
Well, just say I'm going. It's not that hard.
But the problem is you guys keep going on game days.
It's a road game.
Mark.
It's a road game.
Do you realize my job is predicated on...
They have internet. They have internet in Las Vegas. They have televisions in Las Vegas. I think it would be cool for you to do like a live thing from a sports book. Just change it up one week. Be like, I'm here. Let's talk about the Iowa State Lions. Let's talk about what to bet on today. Just give people something
brought to you
new.
By Charter House.
Absolutely. I'd sponsor that. It's change it up.
You actually are onto something.
It'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah. There's no reason you couldn't do that.
That's not a terrible idea.
In fact,
the problem is the Learfield postgame. That's my issue. I have a contract. I can't miss these games.
I don't know if it's still there, but Matt Perrault, who I know you know, used to do a show out there.
He
I
does.
Don't think they're doing it now. But
well, he's still out in Vegas. I don't know where he does.
At the Palazzo, where we stayed last year, they have Emeril Lagasse Stadium, which is this cool little place where you can bet and watch games. In that facility, that's where they used to do the radio show. They have like a separate room that's like set up to do radio in. There you go. Set up right there and have at it.
Interesting.
It'd be awesome.
That's not a terrible idea. That'd actually be really fun.
It would be. I think your listeners would like it. But anyway, what I was going to say is, are you on board? I assume you are. Are you on board with simply cutting to the chase and making sports betting legal?
Yes.
And I ask that because Michigan has proposed legislation this year.
Yeah.
State of New York, state of South Carolina all have things this year to try to legalize sports gambling.
Yeah.
I think it's stupid the government doesn't tax it, doesn't try to get in on it.
And I
don't buy that it will harm the sports leagues. I don't buy it.
Well, because it's already happening.
Everywhere.
It's not like...
Everywhere.
If it was legitimately like not happening, then I could see like the fear of the sports leagues. But if you want to bet on a game, you're going to bet on a game.
I like that certain people like the NBA commissioner has accepted it.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically a fan of it. While the NFL continues to be hypocritical and act like they hate it, baloney. There's been so many examples of this game, which sucks, would have been turned off 15 minutes ago if not that the point spread was still in jeopardy.
No question.
They benefit hugely from that.
No question.
So I hate it when they act like they don't want anything to do with gambling.
I don't understand the political desire to hold it down. And it's a different conversation, but there are similarities between that and marijuana as well.
Yeah. I mean, both are considered vices at some point.
Correct, yeah. And the whole gateway drug thing, like, I respect that. I mean, there's a lot more to that because if somebody gambles on sports and gets in a car and drives off, like, they can't kill anybody.
Correct.
If you're high as a kite, like, it could hinder. So, like, it is a different conversation, but I do think there are some similarities in that as well.
Well, and the thing that bothers me most is that they, meaning the state, and the federal government obviously has no problem with it either, welcomes certain types of gambling. So it isn't like we're anti-gambling.
They don't. They promote it.
Gambling's bad. You'll get addicted.
Dude, if you listen to an Iowa Lottery commercial,
yeah,
they're not talking about the money. All they're talking about is how much you're helping the state.
Yeah. So that's
playing the lottery.
That's always been my problem. We have no problem with you coming and spinning the roulette wheel or craps or blackjack or horses or bingo or whatever. We have no problem with that. That's fine, and we welcome you, and we want your money because it's good for the community.
And you can smoke here.
Right? And you can smoke here and ruin your health. But, don't you dare bet on that Packers-Falcons game this weekend.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt society. Bull.
It's a bunch of crap.
Bull.
It's an archaic way of looking at it.
And it will change. It's just a question of, is it 5 years or is it 15 years? But at some point, it's too much money to not be taxing it.
Well, and that's why I brought up the marijuana thing, because if you read about – now, and there again, I don't want to get political here because I understand there are negative aspects to this too. I'm not flaming liberal here coming at you like – I've never smoked marijuana in my life, so I don't really care. What I do like about it is if you – read some of the stuff like that Colorado's been able to do with that money, with their roads and their schools and whatnot. Like, that's fantastic. And you could do that with gambling. You could do that with sports gambling.
What I'm most interested is, and I think you probably need 5 years or so with the – and I'm all for legalizing marijuana too. I'm on the record. I think that's fine. But in the states that have done that, 5 years from now, are there attributable deaths?
I don't know.
Have happened because of that.
Absolutely.
Where is the record of the person that was stoned and not drunk, stoned, that went out and crashed into people and killed them?
Yeah.
If you don't have that evidence, then you've got to drop that argument that it's dangerous to society.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, again, I've never done it. I don't even know how you feel when you're high? I have no clue. But I also – I do think I could
– Lazy.
Is it
– That's how
I – What's more dangerous, though, drinking or smoking marijuana?
Drinking by a million times.
That's kind of what I've always thought, times. Too.
I have never – I have smoked pot. I admit it. I've never driven after quote-unquote being high. But I have driven after being tipsy, right? Probably when I shouldn't have been driving. That has much – more of an effect on me. And everyone's different, right? Your body chemistry is different.
Yeah.
But alcohol has a huge effect on me if I drink too much. Mm-hmm. There's no way I should be driving a car. The times that I've smoked marijuana, which isn't a lot, mom and dad, if you're listening, but I've certainly done it. No, I felt totally capable of doing pretty much anything at that point. I felt hungry. Like I wanted to.
That's good
I wanted
for the economy.
I wanted to chill. And no, I absolutely wanted to go get a burger.
Yeah.
I wanted to drive through somewhere and spend some money. You know, but nothing other than that.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
But someone else might react differently.
Well, yeah. I don't know, man. It's fascinating. But I think there are a lot of parallels between the two, though, as far as what the government could do tax-wise to benefit all of society.
The only thing that needs to change is fresh new minds need to get into government. That's what needs to change. Right now, we're about to have a turnover in governor. Now, who knows what will happen with that, right?
Probably not much because they're pretty like-minded. But
maybe
we'll
not.
See.
But as younger and younger people – take
Absolutely.
These seats, they're going to start having a different opinion on a lot of these things. The old fuddy-duddies are like, I've never smoked marijuana and it's bad just because I say it's bad.
Yeah.
They're dying off. So we're going to have changes as things move forward.
Absolutely.
So, and I personally welcome those. I mean,
the world evolves.
We're adults. Like, here's so you say I love Trump, so be it. We'll see, right?
You do love Trump.
You got your, well, you know, I love his maybe his daughter, but I don't love Trump.
You love Trump.
But anyway, where I would land more than anything else is more libertarian, which is simply that if you're an adult,
yeah,
you should be able to make your decisions.
I don't hate the libertarians.
As long as your decisions don't hurt another person.
I don't hate the libertarians.
That's it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Right?
So, I had some guy was not happy that we were talking politics a couple weeks ago.
Oh, jeez.
He threatened to complain to the advertiser.
What?
And I'm like, well, the advertiser.
It was me.
I didn't write him back because I didn't want to come off as a smart ass. I was like, oh, I'll just let
this
guy.
So he was actually complaining about the free content not being to his liking?
Yeah, he didn't want our political views.
Well, then don't listen.
This
has always been, for 110 episodes of this thing now, over 2 years, this has always been a place where we just kind of say what we think.
Correct.
That's what it is.
And We don't brand this as a hardcore sports podcast. If you want that, we have plenty of those. You can listen to tonight's Cyclone Fanatic radio show on KXNO and the podcast where Brent Bloom and Jared Stansbury will break down Iowa State basketball for an hour straight.
Yeah.
We have like 5 podcasts a week, and this is one where it's kind of off the wall. That's just how it is.
And I think we have plenty of people that like it that way. So
yes, and the numbers prove it.
And this might have been somebody that's a very nice person. I apologize. If you're nice, hey, no, sorry, but this is not, this
I think
is not
he was,
the place.
I think he was very concerned. He was more upset with my views on Trump.
So him and I would get along, is what you're saying.
Probably, but he threatened to go to the advertiser and say that he wasn't going to support the advertiser because we were talking politics, but you're the advertiser.
So this guy that agrees with me politically doesn't want to support me because of my views on Trump?
No, because we were talking about politics. He doesn't want any politics.
Oh.
I don't understand why people just can't just go, oh, he has different views than me, and just move
on. I hate
well, you
to,
and I do that all the time. We're polar opposites.
I hate to say this, but politics is a huge part of our lives, whether you want it to be or not.
Yeah.
It is.
Just don't be an idiot about it.
Yeah.
Everybody, don't be a moron about it.
Can we make a pact to try not to talk about politics for about 6 months, and then we can have a nice recap of what's happened in the last 6 months? It'll be an interesting 6 months, my man.
Damn right it will.
It will be. I read something the other day that's not political.
Just cash out, get a lot of gold in your stocks.
Yeah. So not political, but interesting, is when Obama leaves the White House tomorrow, like literally leaves the White House, right, to go to the inauguration.
Yep.
Everything in the White House still is his, right? They want the president to leave the White House feeling like it's his house, okay? And this is cool because as soon as he steps foot out the door and is gone, there is like a massive amount of activity that's going to happen over like the next 5 hours as they get all of his stuff out,
yeah,
all of Trump's stuff in. So when Trump walks in, it's all of his stuff.
Did you see at all the documentary CNN did last night?
No.
On Obama?
Mm-mm.
it wasn't really on Obama. It was about that transition that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like how a team transitions to basically leave that post.
Yeah.
And like everything that goes into it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. Yeah. It was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
And then, there's a guy, like his full-time job is he oversees he's a federal employee and he oversees transitions of power.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, well, that happens like once every 8 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But as this guy's putting it, like the United States is basically this giant trillion-dollar corporation with hundreds of thousands of employees. And, you know, if you think of all the ones that the president appoints,
mm-hmm.
not just cabinet members, but like there's thousands. There's like 3/4. I think there's like 4,200 that the president has to
a lot.
Appoint.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I learned a lot. I learned a lot last night.
Did you hear? I just saw a blurb this morning, and I don't know if this is true. So the first lady, right, doesn't really have a say in becoming the first lady. Right, it's the husband historically that's become president, and now you're the first lady. There's no obligation for the first lady to do anything.
No, she could just
sit on her butt if she wants to and do
nothing. Watch Oprah all day.
Now, typically, first ladies get very involved. But I saw something today, or my wife pointed it out, that there's a theory, or maybe someone said something about Ivanka, the daughter, doing the first lady duties, and Melania, the wife, not doing them.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have seen some of that.
Are they saying that she's going to do that? Take
I don't
on
know.
That role?
I don't know, but I know that she's going to have because her husband, you know, is one of Trump's right-hand men.
Yep.
And then Melania doesn't seem too motivated.
She's not even going to be there.
Yeah, like she's not even going to live there, right?
Yeah. Well, not till the summer, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know, honestly, but from everything I've heard, she's going to be incredibly involved, which is probably a good move for Trump himself because she's by far the most likable person in that family.
Intelligent and
very well spoken. She's beautiful. Although Donald Jr. is my homeboy.
Really?
Friend of the...
Did you meet him?
I hung out with him for like 45 minutes one night.
Was he a nice guy?
I liked him. Eric was a little bit nerdy for me.
Because you would expect from those kids, and again, everybody says they're good kids, but you expect a little bit of elitist, you know, dad's a
billionaire. Tana brought him over.
Et cetera.
And so we'd just gotten off the air. It was a Friday, and the Trump boys were going over to be on with Simon.
Yep.
And I was getting ready. So Donald Jr. was supposed to be on our show.
Yep.
But they got there late. This was right before the Iowa caucus.
Yep.
And, you know, we're texting Tana. I'm like, where are they at? Where are they at? Well, we had to get off the air. Well, then, like, right when we sign off, she brings them in. And they had, like, another half hour before they had to go on Simon's show.
Yep.
So I just kind of sat and traded paint with the Trump boys for a while.
How was it? Good?
Yeah, it was fun. I was talking about friend of the program Marco Rubio and how he came on and badmouthed Florida State and how fun that was. And
at any point,
I liked Donald Jr. Like for real. Like I sat, we had like a real conversation. Like he was like a real person.
Did you awkwardly bring up that you can't stand their father? Did you leave that alone?
No, that wasn't the
Iowa caucuses at that point. Daddy had no shot.
Well, yeah, you're right. But like, I didn't feel like in that, we're in a workplace.
By the way, your dad sucks.
I don't think that it was up to me to just be like to make a political stance against these guys. That would have been unprofessional.
Speaking of Tana,
my role.
And I don't know if you would know this, but does Tana have any role?
I think she has some sort of a job. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know though.
Okay.
I don't know for a fact. I haven't talked to her since probably that day.
I texted her on election night, I think, and said congrats on the big win. So she said thank you very much. But no, I did not ask her what's your new job.
I was probably vomiting at that time.
You were one of the CNN anchors crying, pounding the desk. I can't believe this happened.
Like, I really couldn't believe it though, Mark. Like
there's a lot of people that couldn't believe it.
I was in utter shock.
There's a lot of people that couldn't believe it. Guess what, though? The sky's not falling. Tomorrow he's going to become our president.
That's why I like this, though. Like, you and I can sit here and we have a fun conversation. And Ross and I do this, too.
Even Obama, and he has to say it, but didn't he come on yesterday and say, basically, listen, guys.
He's like, we're going to be fine.
We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And we are. We are. I realize that a lot of people think Trump's going to start World War III.
I don't think that.
I doubt that.
I worry just more about his... No, I don't want to get into
it. And guess what? If you have health care today, you ain't having it tomorrow. No, you probably will. You probably will. You're going to have health care. You'll be able to see a doctor. They're going to figure it out, people. They will. Fortunately, the president doesn't get to do whatever he wants. There are some stop gaps to that. So we'll see what happens.
All right. We need to go.
We just talked politics. Sorry.
We have to cut this somewhat short because I don't think your computer can handle a full hour.
Can you do another? What's the update on the poll before we go?
Oh,
do you have an update?
The Moscow Mule Douche
Poll. And can we also start a poll at some point if the people ever want Gray to come back? Because we've had two in a row without him, and it's going just fine. So Gray's at Disney World, by the way, if you want to know why he's bailing on us.
226 voters.
Yeah.
76% say it's fine. 24% say it's a total douche move to drink a Moscow Mule in January.
So I assume Murph is a Twitter friend of yours. He's probably seen this. So he is the wrong. He's in the wrong.
Old friend Scott Nolf says, it's not really a douche move, but using dude and douche in the same sentence might be. Are mules supposed to be seasonal? I wasn't aware. They're delicious, so I want to drink them when I want, says Jake.
I agree with Jake. And it is it probably is seasonal. Any drink like that that's refreshing is probably meant to be a more of a warm weather drink. But whatever. I'll drink them whenever I want.
If you're getting like a mint julep or whatever they're called.
You better be at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Doing that in January, that's a douche move.
And you better be wearing a seersucker suit when you order your mint julep.
All right. Good job, Mark.
All right. We'll see. Maybe Gray will be back next week.
Later, fuckers.